Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation. With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. With your host, your Poetic Energy herself, bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves live. At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio. The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I am your host, Poetic Energy. I am so excited for the guest that we have in the building this evening. It's just, you can't really sum this individual up. He's just such a positive influence. He is Hakeem Crampton, a neo-soul spoken word artist, a motivational speaker, a community activist, creator and executive editor of a journal of neo-soul and poetry. He is the CEO of Dream Team Entertainment and the author of Let There Be Light, a daily inspirational and thoughts of a neo-soul poet book. We just have excitement just buzzing around this special individual coming to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. So we're going to quickly connect him in and get the show started because I know everyone is highly anticipating to hear all about Mr. Hakeem Crampton. Hakeem, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. How you doing this evening?
Oh, we're so excited. I'm doing well, and we're so excited to have you here. We have been highly anticipating to interview you because I think that you are just an amazing person and really have made a mark in the community. And I think that we don't put a lot of positive people on the forefront, so you know, it just gives me great pleasure to have you on the show this evening.
Oh, yes, equally, the pleasure is all mine. I'm very excited to be here. Let the interview begin. Let's talk about some things.
All right. We are just going to go ahead and get started. I wanted to, you know, I did discuss with you about, you know, being as transparent as possible, and you said that you were very transparent and very open to everything that everybody had to ask you if there be any questions. But we just want to go ahead and get started with asking you, who is Hakeem Crampton? We know him as all of those wonderful things that you are as a daily person that you know, all the things that you do, but who are you really?
All right. That's a great question. Way to start a good interview. Hakeem Crampton, you know, it's my life journey. I'm 37 years old. My life journey is really who I am, and the embodiment of that life journey, the experiences, my traveling life, is really what makes up who I am today. And I was born into this earth, Nathaniel Crampton, and it was the year 1991 in which I changed my name to Hakeem to reflect my energetic flow, so if you will, my evolution into the person I had become at that stage in my life. Born and bred right here in mid-Michigan, raised in Detroit, Jackson, Lansing, spending much of my youth in Jackson, Michigan, traveling between Detroit and Lansing, as well as Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I got a chance to have a well-rounded experience in life and living in a lot of different places and experiencing a lot of different things and being raised in the era of hip-hop gave, you know, kind of a rise to who I've become and who I am today. And when I was a youth, I used to spray paint graffiti, and I used to take words and spray paint words, and the words were more than just images of art to me. They were kind of like philosophical, and to me that's where my fascination began, and my lifelong quest with words, which ultimately led me to poetry. So that's who Hakeem Crampton is, and I believe that I am a poet and an author and a writer.
All right, that is so wonderful. I had the pleasure of meeting you, and it was such a pleasant experience meeting, you know, a positive people, because I like to meet and cross the path of positive people. One of the things that really impressed me about you was the you being a male pushing positivity in the way in the form of a book. A lot of times you find, and not to be sexist or anything, but a lot of times you find more women being, you know, writing books about inspiration and motivation on the level that you've written it on. So what inspired you to kind of pull this type of collection together?
Well, you know what? In all actuality, there was a number of years ago in 1998. This is a time, an era of my life in which I have no hesitation to say that I was incarcerated at that time. And I'll talk more about that, about the duration and the extent and the circumstances of it. But at that particular moment, around 1998, was the first time I began contemplating, and the contemplation gave rise to a lot of utterances, things that inspiration just suddenly came to me, and I actually captured them. And I do have them, and I am going to release them at a later time. I didn't release them right now. I didn't put them out there right now because that's an era of my life that I want to put in perspective when I begin to put, you know, the entirety of my life story, so to speak, you know, for everyone to read and see because I believe that the inspiration that came from me at a time in my life that was meant to be for myself. And now the inspirations that come to me today are meant to be shared with everyone else. We didn't get the chance to really talk about, and I said I was going to talk about my incarceration because that's critical to the person I am, to the words that come from me. All of those things are important, and my background it is important to define so that whenever someone is inspired by someone, whenever someone is influenced by someone, it's important to know, you know, what influences, what background made up the fabric of those ultimate influences, because there you can draw an even deeper, enriched understanding from that inspiration. When you understand, when we hear Mahatma Gandhi, when we read a passage from Mahatma Gandhi, for example, who isn't really recognized as a poet, but who in itself was more of a real spiritual poet, even in writings that aren't considered poetic, is what I meant to say about with regard to Mahatma Gandhi. But when we understand his struggle, the backdrop behind him, what gave birth to his struggle, what gave ultimate birth to his inspiration, when we read his messages, then you can understand and appreciate and even value more so the inspiration. So the inspirations in my current book, Let There Be Light, were inspirations that were just sporadic inspirations at a moment on Facebook. That I began when I got on Facebook, I decided that Facebook was such a broad spectrum as it relates to the usage, the historical value and circumstances of Facebook, how poignant it is to our culture today and its youth, and how 100 years from now, everything we're doing today on Facebook and on MySpace and on Blog Talk Radio and all these various things, they are being preserved, and it's preserving a level of our history that previous generations were not afforded. And so when I realized that about the significance and value of Facebook, I began wanting to preserve something more important to myself and to my life and to posterity when I leave this earth. You know, so that's what gave rise to Let There Be Light.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. You talked about, you did mention about you being formerly incarcerated. Let me tell you, that was one of the things that kind of inspired me about you because of who you are, who the person I perceive you to be. Just by meeting you, I really didn't know your full story back then, but as you began to share and we connected on Facebook, and you began to share some of the things that you were doing, and I read it, you had shared a particular video, and that's how I became acquainted with your story. And I think that your story of where you come from and who you are today, that a lot of people, especially men, should be able to embrace your story and know that they can become something themselves even from being from that place and have, you know, being in that place in their life. So I want you to kind of share with, if you don't mind, just a little bit about you being incarcerated, because it is a part of who you are today. And, you know, I think it's a worthy story to, you know, to share with people to really know from, you know, which you came and where you are now.
Right. Yes, yes. Like a lot of young black men here in America, I was one of those unfortunate souls, so to speak, to have been the descendant of former slaves in this country and to then be deposited and raised within a generational culture in which we are, so to speak, trapped souls inside this world, inside a culture that is not of our own, being of the African-American descent, being raised in inner cities, housing projects, having lived in poverty, gave rise to me being on the street blocks, which then gave rise to the ultimate consequences of society's, you know, evolved high culture, so to speak, in which we have our top politicians even finding themselves given lead to criminal activity and finding themselves incarcerated. I myself found myself in the streets, and that gave rise to the prison cell block. And being in the streets, I made a lot of bad decisions that put me in the wrong places. In 1991, I was in the city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Being a street kid, I got in a fight at a liquor store. That fight gave rise to me being arrested for a battery. And once I got in custody, being from Michigan, having an arrest rap sheet from Detroit, from Jackson, from Lansing, Michigan, I was then considered to be a suspect in whatever unsolved or open crime the city of Milwaukee had. In 1991, just after the arrest of Jeffrey Dahmer, the Milwaukee Police Department was under heavy scrutiny. There's a lot of politics involved with this. I was wrongly then accused of a murder that I had absolutely no involvement in. I was then wrongly convicted of that crime, falsely convicted through perjured testimony, and sentenced to 45 years in the penitentiary in the state of Wisconsin. It took me 15 years to win my freedom. That fight was a legal battle. It was a public battle, and we collected evidence from the only what happened to us was we were four black men in custody, and each one of us accused of being a participant in the crime. And the police used the tactic of divide and conquer, blaming the others, when none of us had any involvement. But yet they came to each one of us one by one and said all of them, everyone else admitted their involvement. That led to one person so-called breaking under pressure of being told that the other one said he was involved in the murder, then accused us all and went to court and testified he was the only evidence against us. We subsequently found evidence, and he testified, and others testified that the police and the prosecutor forced them, you know, through bribery and through threats of incarceration to falsely purge testimony against us, and I was sentenced to 45 years in prison. That in itself is what gave rise to who I am, who I've become, and that's why I always put it out there. That's why the video, Education versus Incarceration, One Man's Triumph, The Journey, that's why that video is out there, because I believe that people like me who suffer those types of consequences of American justice system, so to speak, the consequences of being born black in this country, the consequences of everything we can imagine and most things we don't imagine, I think those are the things that need to be pointed out, and I think that for one reason or another, I have been specially chosen to be that individual because I reach back into the prison system because I believe that there is things that can be done to help alleviate and relieve some of the recidivism rates. And to give a broader understanding of what transpires behind walls, because people out of society really just don't know.
Absolutely. I so agree with you. I'm glad you said that, because it was important for you to be on the show and share your story, because there's so many people that need to know that they can be in a place where things are not going so well and be in a place of incarceration. And there are a lot of our young men that are falsely accused of crimes that they didn't do and falsely imprisoned. So when you have someone such as yourself that has walked in that path and has become and is an amazing person that's doing a lot of positive things, it's to me, that's newsworthy information, and it needs to be shared with other people, other young men, and mothers dealing with sons that perhaps are going through the same circumstances. So I'm very excited, really to be doing this show, because it's just, you are a light, and, there's not enough exposure on people like yourself that are choosing to be make a difference in the community. There is not enough of that out there, and I think that we should, definitely make sure that we keep carrying the torch and putting exposure on people like yourself. Now, we do have some people on the switchboard, and I presume that they're going to be wanting to ask you questions pretty soon. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back with more with Hakeem Crampton.
Tomorrow's unknowns might be solved by asking yourself some questions. Does the thought of job loss, economic, or natural disaster have you worried? Have you ever thought,
how do I grow and store food? Could I hunt or fish if I needed to? Where would I get my drinking water? And how would I purify it? What are other people saying about the economy?
Find help and answers at shtfm.com. Learn new skills
at shtfm.com.
All right, folks, we're back with Poetic Energy and with more with Hakeem Crampton. Mr. Crampton, so far you are doing such a wonderful job with the interview, and we are definitely impressed with what we've heard so far. We do want to ask you a couple of more questions. With so many of the things that you do, I'm just going to dive right in, because you have so many things that you do. You a spoken word artist. You have your own. You're a CEO of an entertainment company. You have your own journal. You're really involved with the youth in the community. I really don't know where to start with this, but let's start with something that I'm very passionate about. With you working with the youth, how do you find time to be committed to working with youth in the community? And why is that so important for you?
Right, absolutely. I believe that had I not been at risk as I had been, in terms of had there been someone powerful enough, inspiring enough, motivating enough, someone I could relate to and understand, I believe that had I had someone like that in my life, that I could have made a difference, that I could have been a different person, that I wouldn't have had to walk the long path and road that I ultimately did. And so I believe that I have to give back. And so I believe that it is my duty that I have some bit of awareness and understanding of that torturous road for at-risk children out here in America, that's where my passion lies. From the very moment I was released from prison when I won my freedom in 2006, after having served 15 years of that sentence, I immediately began working with at-risk youth in juvenile homes, schools, high schools, group homes, et cetera. And I started a program called AMEN, which is an acronym for the African American Mentoring and Education Network. And with that organization being based with HAPPY, Helping All People Excel, based out of Jackson, Michigan, that's where I began doing my work at. And I spread immediately out to Detroit, working with a couple of different schools and groups, as well as Lansing, Michigan. And I feel that it's essential for me to be there, and so I have to make the time, as much time as possible.
that is wonderful to hear, because a lot of people don't make the commitment. You hear a lot of complaints about the mentality of our youth today. But I think that the youth are, they do want to be different people. They do want to have quality lives, but if they have no hope or they're in circumstances where they have no one to be a positive role model in life, then they resort to other lifestyles that perhaps is unhealthy for them. So this is why, you know, it's very important that when you find people who really advocate being there for the youth, it's just an amazing job, and I really like to commend you for that. Because, you know, a lot of people make, you know, they talk about it, but they do not fulfill the commitment to be that light for the youth. Only complaining.
I agree. Well said. And
go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say that I just feel that it's my obligation, to, you know, to do the work that I'm doing. And I'm working with a fabulous group of students right now. And I don't know where you want to go with the interview, but I do have something important to tell about that project I got going on in Jackson, Michigan. So just let me know where you want to go, and we'll go from there.
Well, go ahead and expound it. We're on it. You put it out there, so let's roll with it.
All right. Well, I'm working with a group of high school students and juvenile students in the city of Jackson, Michigan. Jackson, Michigan is well known in Michigan to a lot of people being the center and the seat of the state prison, which is broken up into various pieces now because of, you know, the economy, but that is still remains to be the largest walled prison in the United States of America, in the world. And this is a city that has a lot of African Americans here with a very, very high crime rate. An alarming crime rate that in 2000 was cited statistically as being the second highest per capita crime rate outside of Detroit, outside of Wayne County. Jackson County was cited that way. And that is unfortunate for a city with a population of 39,000 people. I mean, African American population is quite small. So there's a serious problem when you have such a high crime rate, when you have such a high AIDS, newly reported AIDS cases rates are high in the city. Teenage pregnancies are high in this city. Particularly drug convictions are high in this city. And this is an ideal place for me to do the work I do, because I did live here for a little over a decade. I'm here in this city. And these youth really don't have much opportunity. But this is the prime place, the prime location, just like what gave rise to hip-hop, what gave rise to a generation of inspired youth that gave birth to hip-hop. The Bronx, New York, the gentrification and the politics and the economy that took place there gave rise, and that was the most potent place in which something like that would arise. The same thing exists here in this little city of Jackson, Michigan, which is just west of Detroit by about 50 minutes. This city, being in the condition that it's in, these children are some of the most inspired youth that you can find, and yet these youth have no way to express themselves. They have no way to tap into anything, because Jackson is very, very isolated, very criminalistic. There's a lot of hardworking people here, and yet the youth are lost in this disadvantaged place of inner-city life and poverty. And so I'm working with these youth here because I want to tap into the very essence of what gives rise to our artistic culture, and that is the passion and pain and sufferings of life, of poverty, of destitution, of racism, of historical conditions that evolves from slavery. These youth are a great youth to work with because they are going to show us the problems and conditions of our world and then give expression to it. They're our next generation of spoken word poets, whether they are writers, singers, authors, et cetera. They are poets because they are using their vocals to express that inspiration that comes from within. And so I'm working with these group of youth and the juvenile and the high school through my program, United We Stand, which is a campaign I got going on. And this program with these youth is called SLAM. It's an acronym, S-L-A-M, Spoken Lyrics with an Academic Mission. what these youth are going to do. I'm going to be working with these youth and training these youth on how to take their education, turn it into written poetry from themselves, from their own words, but from the background of the education that they are studying, and how to give expression to it in a slam form like we do in cafes around this country. This is going to be a great thing that I'm doing. I'm very excited to work with these youth.
I had an opportunity to actually look at your video with some of the youth reciting, and that is a great program that you're putting on, because it's giving the youth options. Like you said, they already have other things that they can be out here doing that will put them in positions that would not be fruitful. But when you have someone that gives them other options, positive options, it's such a wonderful thing, because they need to be guided. We our youth are lost, like you said earlier. They're lost because they don't have anyone out there to really commit to guiding them in a different direction. So again, very commendable, brother. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the journal that you have, that you're the editor of. It's the Journal of the Neo Soul and Poetry. Is that this is something that you do, and how often is it published?
Right. The Journal of Neo Soul and Poetry came out of the need to really promote spoken word poetry in an atmosphere and environment in which there's a lack of, or almost an absence of, the poetry culture. And the poetry culture is very important, because I don't only see poetry as what we do as spoken word poets standing in cafes, speaking in microphones, the typical thing was typically known as poetry. But poetry is all forms of art that uses words and language, and that is poetry. And so it's very important to me that we identify places in which there is a lack of, the poetry culture or poetic culture. And the city of Jackson, it's a total lack of poetry culture. Lansing, it's a lack of poetry culture. Kalamazoo has a small poetry culture. Battle Creek, there's a lack of poetry culture, And so in other places, the same thing is all over in other states. So I decided to showcase what the poetry world looks like, where they are at, who they are, and what they have going on, not only from the point of view of poets, but I mean of neo-soul singers as well, because anybody that is singing today, they come from R&B, soul, neo-soul, et cetera. They are coming out of a poetic, artistic genre that happens to be termed or considered singing, poetry, et cetera. All these things are one that interconnected, and I felt that it was a total lack of that being showcased here, and especially with the dominance right now of spoken word poetry across this country. All the rest of those little small pockets and gaps are things that are in the way from us being able to really showcase and help contribute to this broad culture, that we are so fond of. So that's why I put the journal out there, and the journal is just a simple small magazine, 8 pages right now. I'm only putting it out every 3 months, and it showcases various biographies, interviews of various people whom I've come in contact with, whom I've come to know of in the poetry world, and I'm going to try to expand it and put out more issues and circulate it, I feel that everyone has a voice, and I think that it's always a time to add to the fruits of what we currently have.
No, absolutely. Now, will you showcase some of your students eventually in the journal, you think?
Absolutely. The next journal, in all actuality, is going to be centered on and based on the power in the youth in terms of the poetry world. There's a lot of youth out here in our poetry culture, and they really deserve to have a voice, because they're going to be ones going to help shape and carry on the work that we're currently doing now to continue to give rise to the spoken word culture. And so the next issue Hopefully it'll be released in February, and I'm almost certain it will be done in February in time for Black History Month, because I'm going to be doing something especially with this group of youth for Black History Month. And so the next issue will focus on that, as well as I'm going to do an interview of a couple other people that are also involved in what I would consider to be neo-soul and poetry, and that is some of the various other artistic genres, such as dancing, stepping, as we know it to be. That in itself is, you know, kind of tied in with what we do, and I think everything is connected. So it's going to be a real nice issue coming up in February.
Okay, I highly anticipate that. You definitely need to keep us posted. We have spread the word about that. I'm looking at the copy that I purchased from you. I think that was September, October. I'm looking at that now. It's a nice publication, and yes, I see how you know, you're spreading the light. You're giving help, you know, you're showcasing other people. So that's a very wonderful thing, because not everybody are humble enough to, you know, showcase other people. Sometimes it's just, you know, people only want to be in their own spotlight, but, you know, it's just, you got to spread the love, you know, across the board, and you'll get that same love in return. All right.
Yes.
Hakeem, we have people on the switchboard. I don't know if they want to ask you questions. We still have 20 minutes remaining in the show. We do have more questions, but perhaps some of the people on the switchboard may want to ask you a couple of questions. So if you don't mind, we're going to chime in with one and connect in with one of the people on the switchboard and see if they have any questions for you. How about that?
Fine. Absolutely.
All right. Let's connect in the first person on the switchboard here. Caller from the 414 area code. You are on the air with Poetic E and our guest, Hakeem Crampton. Do you have any questions for our guest this evening? Caller, are you there? Caller from the 414 area code. Okay, we're going to just take it down the line then. We do have some more callers on the air. Caller from the 313 area code, you are on the air with the Poetic Energy Radio Show. I'm your host, Poetic E, and you're on the air with myself and Hakeem Crampton. Do you have a question for our guest? Hello, caller, 313 area code. You're on the air. We can hear something in the background. All righty. Well, we're going to just keep it going. Well, Hakeem, it seems that the people are a little bit shy. Oh, we just had another caller. Let's see if they'll be interested in asking a question. Caller from the 248 area code, you are on the air with the Poetic Energy Radio Show and our guest, Hakeem Crampton. Do you have any questions for our guest this evening? All righty. Well, it seems that our callers are on the switchboard. Perhaps they're just listening. But do feel free to call into the show. The show number is 917-932-8881. All right, we're going to continue to the interview with Mr. Hakeem Crampton. Hakeem, we just talked about the work you do with the youth, your journal. Now, you're also the CEO of Dream Team Entertainment. Can you tell us a little bit about that venue?
Yes, Dream Team Entertainment is inspired by the idea that in order to really, you know, gain any real success in whatever it is we're focused on, we need to form a team. That's well known. And the Dream Team is from the fact that most of what I do and most of what I believe and feel comes from the dreams and inspirations of throughout my life. I'm playing off of the, you know, world-famous Dream Team of, you know, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, you know, everybody went to the Dream Team to the Olympics. The concept was to really form a team of individuals dedicated to achieve something. In this particular instance, the Dream Team Entertainment is an edutainment initiative, hoping to join together with other, you know, record labels, entertainers, people that are working to promote you know, the culture of hip-hop, the culture of spoken word poetry, and it's really focused on and fused around my own belief that our culture, we are at a serious loss right now, and we lack a lot of spirituality. We lack a lot of insight. We lack a lot of inspiration, and we don't dream, you know, beyond what we're kind of like used to. We allow the circumstances of our life to fog our ability to see beyond the boundaries of our eyesight. And Dream Team Entertainment really is born out of that idea that we're going to dream beyond this. And my belief about our culture and about hip-hop and about spoken word poetry in particular is the fact that I believe that hip-hop in itself comes out of and is born and birthed from a spoken word culture. We don't realize how much what makes up our life in its totality when we talk about what gives us the inspiration and then how we express that inspiration. And since time we've been in this country and before then, our history has shown that we have been a very spiritually inclined, musically inclined, so to speak, rhythmically inclined is what I really would like to say, that has given rise to the way in which we express our history, our culture, our passions, our ideas, our knowledge, our wisdom. And oftentimes we chant this, we sing this, we harmonize this, we speak this. And all of this in itself, to me, is the foundation of spoken word because it's the power of language. Without the power of language, we would not be able to communicate to ourselves ideas. You have to have language, diction, vocabulary in which to communicate ideas to yourself so that you can think, so that you could take your mind beyond the realm of the animalisticness of it, which we can only feel and sense like the animals. That's the reason why we've evolved so far within this universe, because we have Absolutely. The ability to speak. You understand? And so Dream Team Entertainment Yes. is the embodiment of recognizing that that's what makes up who we are, and that's where we come from. And hip-hop comes out of that and has been displaced because of what happened in the 80s. Of the mid-80s with the crack cocaine epidemic, the dissolution of the Black Panther Party, the civil rights struggle, all these various different things that kind of dissipated and dwindled, and then criminology came in within our culture through the usage of trying to attempt to control and depopulize the African-American population and poverty and all these very different sociological things that happened in the mid-80s that took shape of hip-hop and evolved it away from what could have been it's great destiny that we are in such a lack of. And this is why not only am I a spoken word poet, but I'm also a hip-hop artist, you know. And I don't believe that these things are separate in themselves. I think that we just lack the understanding to understand the connectedness of them and the wholeness, the unity of them.
Absolutely. It's just amazing. You know, it seems like everything that you are involved in has purpose. And that is one thing that is very important, that because we can be involved in so many things, but it have purpose. So, you know, it wouldn't really be, you know, for what you're doing is not fruitful or you know, doing any good for anybody. But I love the fact that what you're doing, everything that you are doing, you have purpose in it, and that is so important to have purpose. And the things that we do are not meant to just be for ourselves, to better ourselves, but to better others and to shed light on the lives of others that we come in contact with. So, again, I really commend you for the things that you are doing, the work that you are doing, and the vision that you have with all that you're doing. Let's talk a little bit about the book a little bit more. Can you share with the audience some of the potent quotes that you have in the book? Because I want them to experience the inspiration that comes from some of the things that you have included in your selection.
Okay, yeah, sure. You want me to read something from you? Read something?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good. The current book that we're referring to is Let There Be Light, Daily Inspiration and Thoughts of a Neo-Soul Poet, which is a collection of just daily inspirations and thoughts and sometimes philosophical ideas, some of them conceptual. That particular book is out and is available at ikleibers.com/letthereBeLight. And it's just a small 72-page book. Some of the things that are inside it, some of the things that I liked most inside this book that I was, you know, very pleased and grateful for having been inspired to believe this way, to think this way. I'll read a couple of them from you, and one of them is in a chapter called Hakim on Knowledge and Metaphor. And I'm thankful for that title from my editor, Ms. A.A. Drew, who was very, very helpful in collecting this collection from me from Facebook. On this particular passage says, timeless blues of plantation dues fed the fuel of intoxicant booze, buried alive inside a slave ship casket, freed only from the pain of my soul, accepted the fate of my afterlife judgment, and fought through my life to attain the victory of freedom. But yet I was left for dead, and yet I survived. I trapped in a maze of life, but I escaped. I was gifted with the license of wordplay, but I spoke with the sword. Traveled back in time, but I remained relevant in the now. Persecuted by blue shooter avatars, but I'm still at large. Exonerated of murder by the truth of justice, but I remain on parole. Left the history of my past in a police rat sheet, but I remain in prison blues. So you can go with the wind when the rain stops, and with the rain when the snow melts, but never go with a fool when you've been fooled before. Let there be light. So these are just three passages that I read to you. And that's kind of almost, I don't want to say it's on the aggressive side, but I had something to express about something passionate that we talked about earlier. And so there are other passages in here. There are other different types of inspirations. I know you want to hear a little variety of them. So I'm gonna read another one that I think is, you know, something that may be interesting.
Before you go into that, Hakim, there's something that we do on the show when somebody gives a very profound piece, and I have to give this to you. All right, Hakim, we just had to do that because when a person, usually on our open mic show, you know, I usually give claps and praise to people because, you know, that was powerful. I know you said it was short, but it was power to the punch. I kid you. People are clapping for you in the chat room. All right, Mr. Hakim Crampton, go ahead and go with your next piece.
Okay, all right. I'll read this next piece out of the book. Each moment we fail to plan means we're not executing. Without execution, you cannot leave your past buried. Leave the rear for the forefront and do so by planning and executing towards your future. Lessons in life have no value if they are not heeded, except to show the downside of life when no one learns from them. Lead by example, exemplify by intelligence, intellectualize through wisdom, and remain humble through each. In life, sometimes you have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And in my case, I refuse to fold, so I guess I defy the odds and separate myself from the average gamesman. I always keep an ace on deck. I wanted to end with that one right there, Ms. Poetic Energy, because I think that a lot of times in life, we kind of give up way too soon. And I don't believe in giving up per se. You know what I'm saying? There's different ways to approach challenges and wars in life. And these inspirations out of this book, you know, I'm hoping that somebody will be able to read them and say, wow, that was meaningful to me. You know, that helped me. Because like I said, when I was young, I wasn't given a lot of inspirations or examples or, you know, no one was there to influence me to do anything positive or constructive with the exception of my mother, you know. She was the only one that was there for me, and she get kind of like gives inspiration to a lot of the things I say and do because so much of me comes from her.
All right. Honor your mother. I love that. Well, Hakeem, we have 15 more minutes remaining in the show, and we do have people with their hands raised up on the switchboard. Now, we're going to attempt this again, and if you have questions for Hakeem, when I call your exchange, please say something so that he can know that you have a question or answer any questions that you may have. We're going to take the next caller. Caller from the 323 area code, you are on the air with Poetic E and Mr. Hakeem Crampton. Who do we have on the air with us?
Hello there, my darling. It is I, the Oracle, said she today.
Yes. Hello, Oracle. How are you this evening?
I am so excellent. I'm excited and excellent. I'm excited about life, girl. I woke up this morning.
Amen.
And I'm in good health. Oh,
yes.
And the only thing I need to do is work on my stomach. Other than that, I'll do it just fine. No,
fine.
I do have a comment, not a question for you, young man. I want to give you one from me.
Yes,
all right.
I am
a published author like you, a poet, a spoken word artist, as we call ourselves in the biz. And I want to say congratulations, young man. You are strong, standing tall, and moving forward. And that's a great thing to see in a beautiful young black man. Your picture looks good, too.
Thank you.
That was the Oracle, y'all, calling from Hollywood, California. We so love her when she comes through to the show. We appreciate you and your love, Oracle.
Oh, most definitely. Sister, you know, I make an attempt to call in to somebody's show at least every day. I may not get to everybody, but it is my goal and my hope to do so, because if we do not stand with one another, we shall fall apart all together, you see. And,
all right.
Yeah. So you have a special place in my heart, Miss Singh, because you're gonna be on my show on the 27th. So I'm excited.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh,
yes.
Isn't that gonna be awesome? You get to answer the questions. You get to share your poetry. You get to be the star of the show.
Okay, I'll pick you the first one. Okay, but I am so looking forward to that.
Yes. No, but your show is great today. Hakeem, you are awesome, young man. Now, I came in late, but so where are you from? I didn't get where you were from. Are you on the East Coast, West Coast?
No, I'm here in Michigan, in mid-Michigan. I'm currently in Jackson, Michigan.
Wow. How's the weather?
Horrible.
Oh, then I shouldn't brag. No, your material is great. And you know what? I don't want to take up all of this time, because I'm sure you may have one or two others, more pieces that you want to do, or some other people you want to talk to. But I just wanted to tell you kudos, my brother, kudos. Your stuff is so insightful. It's rather deep, you know. It takes consciousness. Folks have to have an elevation of mind, you know, to really, really grasp all the nuances in your pieces. Even though they're speaking truth on everyday themes, still they take a higher consciousness, you know, food for thought, if you will.
Absolutely.
Thank you, and
all
I appreciate
right.
your comment.
You're welcome, darling. I'll hang on. I'm going to just take my hand down, but I'll be here till the end.
All right. Thank you, Miss Oracle. All right, that was the Oracle, y'all. We're going to try to take another caller who has their hand up. Caller from the 248 area code, you are on the air with Poetic Energy, and our guest, Hakeem Crampton. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, this is Natasha.
Hi, Natasha.
Hey, Natasha.
How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm good. This is Natasha, Beautiful Thought. And I wanted to call in support of Hakeem, and I did have a comment and question. And
all right.
I was the first time listening to your show, but I'm listening because of Hakeem's blast out on your show. And I just wanted to say, first of all, it just hit me that Hakeem, whenever he posts anything or writes anything, he has his little signature, you know, in regards to the light. And it just hit me tonight, although I see it all the time, that he really is such a light, in connecting that to how he shines in the community and even just with people on a, you know, individual basis. Every time I talk to him or see him, he always has a positive attitude, and that's rare to come by, you know, other than being a great spoken word artist. So I wanted to say that comment.
Thank you very much.
And also, my question is, how did you, because I didn't hear the whole interview, but how or why have you decided to do the freestyle so often as opposed to, you know, the traditional, I mean, although you have your written word and you have your CDs, why do you usually do live performances in the freestyle format? Why did you choose to do that?
Right, that's a very good question. I have been asked that a lot. While I was incarcerated, I was strictly a writer. I only wrote. And it was a small group of other prisoners like myself that got together and shared thoughts. And we began basically having slams inside prison. And it was all from what I had written. And while I was incarcerated, I wrote dozens of books, in all actuality, a lot of technical books in a lot of different areas of religious spirituality. And when I came home from prison, I began doing spoken word poetry and here in Detroit. I began on spoken word poetry in Detroit, the Picnap Poetry Series. And honestly, everyone I saw get up there, I thought they were freestyling. There were very few people who read from paper, and I thought they were freestyling. And when I was young, I used to call myself freestyle rapping. So I always could freestyle rap a little bit. But I thought these brothers and sisters were up there freestyling. So I kind of harness my freestyle game a little bit to get up there to sit on stage with those brothers. And I'm going to tell you, and I want to put this out there, the brother who influenced me the most is not only Saul Williams from the movie Slam, but the brother King Omari Wise, the brother who mentioned you beautiful thoughts. Seen that brother in 2006 and 2007 during the Pigman Poetry Series, and I thought these brothers was freestyling. And so I always said, and there's documented history throughout these years in which I made comments and references to him being the inspiration for me doing the freestyle that I do, and that I wanted to get on the same stage as him, because that brother is a bad brother, you know? And so that's why I'm so impressed with freestyle and why I do it so often. Another thing about me, the reason, second answer to that is that a lot of people know I record in the studio. I record to music. But I consider myself a spoken word poet before anything else. And so I choose to do the freestyle spoken word poetry because it is what comes out of me right then and there at the moment, given the circumstances of life. And I think that that is, to me, the most freest meaning of poetry, when you can stand there and express the pain and torture that have brought you to that place, to that stage, to that microphone, right then and there, or the passion, the pain, the love, the joy that has brought you there. And that's why you see my spoken word poetry, my freestyle, and the things that I have recorded on YouTube, and you see a wide variety of stuff, you know, because it's that which is on my heart right then and there. Mm-hmm. And that's why I believe them when it comes to poetry.
That is awesome. I had the opportunity of seeing Mr. Hakeem do that freestyle, and it just like it just flows like butter. it's so smooth.
I think part of it is he's so passionate, and like he was saying, being able to express. And if he wasn't so passionate and truly believed in the things that he was saying, I don't think that he would be as articulate and be able to express himself as well as he does, because he really means what he says and his passion behind it. And I think that makes him even that much more powerful as an artist and just in communicating his message.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'd like to thank Miss Beautiful Thoughts for her kind words and questions for our guest, Hakeem Crampton. We do have 5 more minutes remaining in the show. We're going to ask Hakeem, thank you, Miss Beautiful Thoughts, for calling into the show.
Yes, thank you. She's a very good friend of mine. I love her.
All right. Okay, well, we have 5 more minutes remaining in the show, and we are going to have Mr. Hakeem give us the guest in the chat room. We have a lot of people in the chat room. We want to acknowledge them very quickly. Thank you, Black Homeschoolers, 09619, guest 6110-630-850-947-076. Our guest, Mr. Hakeem Crampton, Make It Talk, Shawnee Spareen, Miss Strong Island, and The Oracle. We love you all for hanging out with us in our interview with Mr. Hakeem Crampton. We have 5 more minutes remaining to the show, and we're going to ask Mr. Hakeem Crampton to, if he could, freestyle for us for a little bit before we end the show. Can you, do you think
okay,
you can get it in 4 minutes?
Yeah, I can do it. I can do it. You know, I can do it. I love the freestyle. I love it. You know, I kind of pick up my freestyle right from the words that we speak, right from the moment in time in which we captivate the audience with our minds. Sometimes we do it with our minds, and sometimes we do it with our tongues. It's just all about the way in which we begin to verbalize that essence, which is one, which is inside ourselves, giving rise to the poetic thoughts, to the poetic energy of this radio show, to Miss Oracle, who has called in and gave insight and spoke words poetically inspired from herself. She is that which ones that give the oracle of the messages of the world that inspires us to teach and reach the audience beyond which our realms can touch. I say, here I am standing here in this place, galaxy inside my mind, trying to reach the world, trying to teach the world the passion and pain of my life, to give the misery to the life and strike the gate right to the birthplace and to the intellect of the mind that gave words poetically inspired, trying to figure out how I can touch into the essence of this life and give meaning and substance to that which gives us this strife. I say I've been born in destitute, butt naked without a soul, bleeding on my backside, trying to figure out how I can get inside my mind, get inside my essence and my soul. I'm standing here right now speaking for myself, freestyle, at this very moment, listening to words and chanted, inspired that which is gifted inside myself. I said, Miss Poetic Energy has given me an opportunity and a voice to spread my message through this airway, through this poetic energy radio show, because the energy is coming from inside. It is captivating each and every one of us, touching us, giving us words poetically inspired, giving us thoughts and ideas that may take us higher, because this is the life in which we live. We've been destined to be here by God, giving the essence inside ourselves that we may become something like God, not like God himself over the owners of the master of the universe, but over the mastery of ourselves, because we have been given that gift. Let us take that gift and express it word by word on the Poetic Energy Radio Show with Hakeem and Miss Poetic E, the Oracle, Miss Beautiful Thought. Those that have chimed in on time, I said they are listening in here, and I can't sing all their names, but I love them and thank them and welcome them to this world. Miss Poetic E, go ahead and close this show out. Thank you.
All right, Hakeem, they're loving you, brother. Hot, hot, hot. Woo! Let that be light. As Hakeem would say, we certainly enjoyed Mr. Hakeem Crampton being a wonderful guest on our show. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us this evening for celebrating such a positive brother in the community, in the lives of others. Hakeem, please put your information in the chat room for the people to connect with you. We did have it in there earlier. It somehow it just keeps scrolling up. But it's so important to connect with positive people, and this is a positive brother, and we love what he's doing. Hakeem, thank you so much for coming onto the show, and you're always welcome to the Poetic Energy Radio Show. God bless everyone for coming out and joining wonderful brother with us. God bless you. Good night. Until next time, peace be with you. Thank you, Hakeem, for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I love you. I appreciate you.
Good night.
You send a few. smile in your face, 'cause they heard it someplace. You got more than they're used to. Some of them